There are some things in our lives that require the perfect moment. It's like you want it all set up just exactly the way you want it to be, and it's the perfect moment. And sometimes we get to plan for those perfect moments. I remember many years ago, you know, I was in love with this woman named Ruth, and I wanted her to be my wife. And so I thought about, how can I ask her this question? And I was looking around for this like perfect moment. And I finally decided the perfect moment, we were going back to my hometown in Indianapolis, and I picked out, it was New Year's Eve. I mean, that's a romantic evening, and we had this time together, and we actually went to church, and then we had this time together and this meal together, and then we ended up at this spot, at this gazebo, and it was almost midnight, and I took Ruth up to this place, and she didn't know what was going on, and I surprised her, totally surprised her by asking her to be my wife. And then the bigger surprise, Ruth said yes. It was the perfect moment, and God just put it all together, and wow. That was awesome. I'm so glad that that happened. It was perfect. And then there's times when you don't get to choose the perfect moment, all right? So my daughter, Angela, about three Christmases ago, got a text. She sent a text to her friend, her roommate in college, who was now married, and she had a couple of kids. And here's the text, Merry Christmas. And Hannah writes back to her, Merry Christmas. I had a baby in a car on the side of the road 4 weeks early. My husband delivered her, and there are multiple news stories, and I wish I was kidding. What? Today? Hannah writes, yes, I was interviewed in person by two TV news stations and the Star Tribune. Oh, my word. And we are both doing good, but I think I'm still in shock. What? The baby was born in God's mind. It was the perfect time. And what had happened is Hannah and her husband, his name is Taylor, they went to visit on Christmas Eve to be with the parents, you know, and they had the two kids with them, and they opened presents, and suddenly Hannah says, you know what? I think the baby's coming. So they hop in the car, head back to Minneapolis, but it's 45 minutes away. And it's the third child, and he calls 911 and ambulance literally starts chasing them, all right? But it's coming too fast. And they said, we'll call the police too. And then they said, he says, these contractions are coming so fast. He says, just stop the car. And so he stops the car. He goes in, his wife is in the back seat, and he, at that moment, delivers his own child. Wow. And then 2 minutes later, a police officer arrives, and he takes a shoestring off of the mother's boot and ties off the umbilical cord. And then about 5 minutes later, the ambulance arrives and takes them to the hospital. And they arrive at the hospital, and here's the scene of the happy mom and dad and the baby named Poppy. And then here's one more photo. And I love this photo because there's the mom and baby. But then look at the dad in the background. It's like, I can't believe this just happened. I love his face. So guys, that was the perfect moment, but they didn't plan for it. Guys, we have been in this crazy time the last 12 months or so, and it's not what we would have chosen, but I believe it's the perfect moment. I believe God is sovereign, and he has constructed life in such a way to arrive us right where we are right now as you're listening, whether you're at home or in one of our venues, you're listening, and this is the perfect moment for what? The perfect moment for the good news. The perfect moment for the gospel. It's the perfect moment for us to understand the power of the gospel, but today I'm going to talk about how it's the perfect moment for us to take that good news to our community, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our enemies. It's the perfect moment. And to help us learn about this perfect moment, I want to take us to a passage in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 8, and last weekend we looked at this, and Philip was this amazing leader in the early church, and he's sharing the good news with people in Samaria, and that's amazing, and he's sharing the good news with all sorts of people, and he's healing people. People are amazed, and they're coming to faith in Jesus, and it was truly incredible. And I think he's an incredible example of for us to be amazing and to do amazing things and to be willing to introduce people to this God that we love, who loves them so much that he sent his one and only son. There's barriers, there are things like intimidation, we're just scared. There's things like isolation, we aren't connected really to other non-Christians perhaps. There's ignorance, it's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. There's the barrier of indifference. Maybe we've grown apathetic or complacent in our faith and we're not as fired up as maybe we used to be or think we should be. And then there's assumptions. We just assume everybody already believes, nobody really needs to hear this. And all of those are barriers, and they're all exploded today, those barriers, in the passage we're going to look at in this incredible book of Acts, which is a history and record inspired by the Holy Spirit of the early church, all right? So here, we may get scared, we may be unsure, we may be frustrated, apathetic, or complacent, but we keep waiting. And someday will come the perfect moment. And maybe you're today, and maybe you are yourself a spiritual explorer. Maybe you're a skeptic or a doubter, and you keep waiting for the perfect moment to maybe explore this thing we call Christianity. Well, today's the day. Today's the day. And I want to take us in the book of Acts, and we're going to meet up with Philip, who meets up with a guy who's a treasurer of this nation of Ethiopia, and he is an Ethiopian himself. He's a eunuch. And he serves the queen of Ethiopia, but he actually goes to Jerusalem. Maybe it was business, I don't know. But something happened there as he came to Jerusalem and left. And who sets this up perfectly was actually a man named Chris Brown, who's a pastor from California. He actually spoke at our Good for All conference on this very passage. And to kind of set it up for us all, I want you to listen to how he sets up the story of this Ethiopian eunuch who was the treasurer for Ethiopia. Check it out.
His mind is racing, trying to make sense out of mass confusion that emotions and reality and unmet expectations have just put on him. And it's the furthest thing from what he thought the ride home was going to be like. To say that it's been a bumpy journey so far is an understatement. Literally, spiritually, figuratively, it's the large wooden wheels that are carrying him on roads that are unpaved. It's the constant jostling and turning and bumping. It's not a smooth ride, and yet it's internally that he can't work out. There was a hope that what little answer he had would grow and be found into something greater. So he made the trip from Africa, knowing he was heading into one of the most segregated places on earth. There's walls around it, you know. Walls around the entire thing. Huge gates on each side, and even what gates you're allowed to go into and not go into are pretty important. There's a place for Gentiles, the non-Jews. You can stand here. Only if you're Jewish can you go here. Women Jews have to stay here. Male Jews can now go here. And now priests can go here. And now high priests can actually go here. And there's barriers by race, by gender, ethnicity. Here is God. But not quite for you, for you, for you, for you. And not you. And I don't know if he knew it. I don't know if it was asked of him. I don't know if before he walked in when the gates, his skin, his features, his lack of masculinity gave it away. It should be able to be kept a secret. But when you're castrated before puberty, the testosterone in a male body just changes features. Hair. Questions are going to be asked. Oh, sure, it was done so you could have higher position. Sure, it was done that you could serve royalty and be considered safe. It would take away maybe some of your anger, maybe some of your bravado. And also we know our women, our daughters, our princesses would be safe around someone like you. And sure, it did allow him to get higher positions, but at a cost of others serving the kingdom, of their jealousy, of their envy. And from a young man on, the life that he had to live, knowing it is simply his life, there will be no future, there will be no family from him. But somebody somewhere had shared about a God that says, there's hope for hopeless. And for whatever reason on his business trip, for whatever reason on his journey, he himself wanted to see the temple. And on leaving a place of worship, he has found himself more isolated, more outcast, more excluded, more hopeless, more lost, more abandoned than ever before.
Maybe that's your experience. Maybe you feel that way. And certainly we know people. We know people who feel that way, isolated, lost, abandoned, especially from what's happened the last 12 months. But there's our opportunity. It's the perfect moment. When that moment, when you find yourself there, or when you know of a friend or a family member who's there, this is the perfect moment for them to hear good news. And I'm going to take you into the book of Acts, because this Ethiopian treasurer opened up. He was reading the Bible, of all things, and God spoke to him in that moment. So come with me. And what I want to say to you is, if you want to be a spiritual influencer, if you want to see God use you in powerful ways to really transform other people, or maybe you're one who's even just seeking answers to the truth, here's the first principle I want to give to you, and that is to be available to God's calling and direction. God's whispering something to you. If you're a skeptic, a doubter, explorer, he's calling you to listen to him. And if you're a believer in Jesus, he's calling you to be open to be an influencer on other people. Be open to where he calls you. We meet up with both sides of that equation in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Be available. So here's what it says, verse 26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Now, Philip's already had opportunities to reach people in Samaria. And he says, this angel, this messenger from God speaks to Philip and says, get up and go. Get up and go. South to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So just take a minute. We'll come back to this, but take a minute and look at this map here. Okay, so we've got this. He's up here in Samaria in the north of Jerusalem, to the north. And the angel says, go down and take this road that comes from Jerusalem and goes southwesterly to Gaza. So he gets on that road. So we pick it up again in verse 27. So he got up and he went. And there was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he was in charge of her entire treasury. So here we're meeting up with the secretary of the treasury of this incredible kingdom of Ethiopia. And God spoke to Philip and you say, get on that road. And guess what? Philip was open and he was available. He was available to, he was listening to God, and he obeyed. He went there. Sometimes God just, he doesn't need your abilities. We think we have to have all the answers. Sometimes what he wants is your availability, not your abilities. Just say, I'm willing. Get up and go. And he got up and went. That's what it says. He was available. And he met an incredible opportunity. Some people have convinced themselves in terms of spiritual influence that they just cannot do this. They're like this kindergartner I heard about this week. His little boy named Jackson. He returns home. The mom was saying, turned home from his very first day in kindergarten this year. And his mother asked if he'd had a good day. And he said, well, I can't read, I can't write, and they won't let me talk, so what's the use? Hilarious. But also sometimes we feel that way too. I don't know what I'm doing. What's the use? But you know what? God just wants us to be available. Philip was an ordinary guy, and God had poured into him his Holy Spirit, and he was available. When God spoke, he got up and went. God's going to speak to you sometimes. He's going to say, you know, It may not be an audible voice, but he's going to say, you know, he's going to lay it on your heart. You know, you need to get to know this person, or this person needs a friend, or this person has been placed in your life as a coworker, as a neighbor, or somebody for a purpose, for a reason. Because guess what? There are no coincidences with God. There are only divine appointments. He's got something he wants you to do in your life. So start with being available, saying, I'm willing. But then the second principle comes, and that says, take each next step as God opens doors. So first, you're available. If you're a believer, you're available to say, put me in, coach. If you're a skeptic, a doubter, an explorer, you say, well, God, maybe you'll send somebody to me that can be my friend, and I can talk to them about spiritual things. But then you take each new step as God opens doors for you, whether you're that explorer or whether you're a believer. And if you're a believer, we realize that people are seeking answers. Doubters and explorers and skeptics, they're seeking answers. Sometimes they're not looking in the right place, but they're seeking answers. Now, here's what it says about this Ethiopian treasurer. He had come to worship in Jerusalem. So for whatever reason, he was seeking answers. He wanted to experience worship. And something had led and drawn him there. He was looking for a connection with God. And he was sitting in his chariot on his way home. So he's heading back down the road to Gaza, to the coast, where he can catch a ship to head back home. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. Apparently, this man was of some wealth because he was able to maybe purchase a scroll at the temple in Jerusalem. And he's reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. People are looking for answers, and he was looking for answers. And maybe you identify more with Philip as the believer, or maybe you identify more with a treasurer who's seeking answers. But either way, you take each next step as God opens the door. And next, you eagerly follow the Spirit's promptings. When God prompts you to take that next step, you say, okay, I'm in, I follow. It says in verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. This is random. He doesn't know anything about this guy. He's never met this guy. He's never seen this chariot. Go and join that chariot. And it seems random, but he's okay. And so he follows. When Philip ran up to it, this wasn't reluctant. This wasn't like, well, let me think about it for a half an hour. No, he immediately gets up and he runs. That's a lesson for me. You know, sometimes I'm reluctant. Sometimes, next year, next month, next day, next week. Go for it now. If God's opened that door, you will go, you walk through it. If this is the moment, this is the moment. You don't need to be weird, but you need to be ready. It didn't matter. Philip had questions. What's this about? What am I going to do? It didn't matter. He ran to it. And then we meet people where they are. I love this. We meet people where they are. He had no idea anything about this Ethiopian guy. He says, when Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He goes, that's weird. Wow. God's prepared this guy. There, he's got questions and he's searching. And he's looking for answers. So he asked him a question, which I love. He didn't start by telling him anything. And this is what Jesus did all the time. And this is what we need to do. We need to ask people questions. And the question he asked him was perfect for that moment. It won't always be the question you ask, but it was a question he asked. And he asked this, do you understand what you're reading? I probably would have blown it. I would have launched into, well, Isaiah, you know. No, but he just asked him a question. Very respectful. Like, do you get what this is all about? What do you think of this? Do you understand this? He saw a man who mattered. And apparently it mattered enough that God said, go run after that chariot. He did. And there are people all around us who matter. And we believe God calls us to get involved in their lives. You know, in a few months, we're bringing a guy named Tim Tebow, Heisman champion, two-time national champion, Heisman winner, played professional football, and now is an incredible leader of Night to Shine and the Tebow Foundation, and is making a difference in tons of people's lives. He's coming to our Good for All conference. I hope you'll get signed up for this. But he said something about how people matter, and I want you to just listen to this. Take a listen.
We're believers in a big God. We're believers in people. And we're believers in change. We are believers. everyone matters. We don't play God, we serve God. No matter what background, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what you've done in your past, you matter. We believe everyone matters.
It's just amazing. He realizes, he gets it, and he challenges us. People matter. People matter. And I love what he said. We don't play God, we serve God. We're not there to manipulate situations. We're not there to make things happen. We're just there to be available and saying, people matter. And in this story where we're reading here, Philip realized that this man, this outsider, this man from Africa, mattered. He assesses the situation. We assess the situation. We meet people who matter to God. And he assesses the situation. He asks a question. Sometimes that assessment takes 5 seconds. Sometimes it takes 5 minutes. Sometimes it's weeks, days, years. We don't know. But we realize that people matter, and we're willing to meet people right where they are and ask open-ended questions. I love, you know, Lee Strobel talked about having a woman named Maggie in a group that were discussing and exploring spiritual questions. Lee Strobel is an incredible author and defender of the Christian faith. And after a while, this woman just felt the freedom to be able to ask questions there. And the incredible thing was what she wrote to him about her journey. She said this, I needed gentleness. I needed to be able to ask any question. I needed to be taken seriously. I needed to be treated with respect and authenticity. Most of all, I needed people to see people whose actions match what they say. I'm not looking for perfect. I'm looking for real. Integrity is the word that comes to mind, she wrote. I need to hear people talk about real life, and I need to know if God is or can be part of real life. Does he care about the wounds I have? Can I ever be a whole and healthy person? I have asked questions like these, and I have not been laughed at or ignored or invalidated. I've never been pushed or pressured in any way. I don't understand the caring I have received. I don't understand that the leaders seem unafraid of questions. They don't say things like, you just have to have faith, or you need to pray more. They don't seem to be afraid to tell who they are. They seem genuine. Guys, that's what we need to be. And that's what Philip was to this man who was seeking answers. And he could sense that. And he met that man right where he was. We meet people where they are. But then, when there is interest, we can take tactful initiative. Not running over people, not bulldozing, but we take tactful initiative. It says, when Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading. He asked a question, do you understand what you're reading? One approach to that guy would communicate, I dare you to disagree. The other approach says, I care about you. I care about your life. I care about what you're seeking. And he asks good questions. Philip didn't know where he was going to be in this process. He didn't know how the story is going to end. And many of us haven't read this yet. We don't know either. But he was along for whatever God had for him. And he was willing to be a chain in a link that would lead this man to understand the purpose for which he was created, to know God and have a relationship with the God who loved him, who made him. So ask a question. And then Philip did the greatest thing. He asked a question, and then he shut his mouth and listened. He just listened. This is an incredible gift that we give to people. Here it is. Listen carefully to what they say. Listen carefully to what they have to say. So important. The Ethiopian man responds, how can I unless someone guides me? So he wants to know answers, and he invites Philip to step into that. He goes, I need guidance. I'd love for you to share something with me. How can I understand what I'm reading unless someone guides me or explains it to me? So he actually invites Philip. This doesn't always happen, but it did in this case. And so it says, he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So here, the skeptic, the doubter, the explorer takes the initiative. So nobody's forcing anything on him. He takes the initiative to invite him. That's when you know you have a breakthrough. When that person is inviting you, you've earned their trust. You've befriended them enough so they invite you. And by the way, Philip had earned this right. For one thing, he had crossed all sorts of racial, ethnic boundaries to befriend this man. And he's a warm soul. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage this Ethiopian man was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Wow. Does that sound current? Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying this is about? Himself or someone else? Help me understand. Help me learn. Help me know. I really need to know. And at that point, he does what we do. When that moment arrives, we open the word. Sometimes that takes 5 minutes like this. Sometimes it takes years. But we open the word. And it says in verse 35, Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that very scripture. So we know the message. We when we hear this passage, we don't have to have PhDs, but we know we're familiar enough with the story that we can at least begin them on the road. We open the word. And then we talk about the good news of Jesus. See, this is the key. We know this is good news. It's not bad. It's not a lecture. It's not some heavy thing. It's good news. It's joyful news. And we talk about Jesus. Wow, this is the moment. All the roads lead to Jesus, not to a morality code, not to you need to do this, and not this lecture about how they need to clean up their life, but about a God who loves them just where they are, no matter what, and who welcomes them into a relationship, no matter who they are, what they've been, what color their skin is, what their relationships are, who they've been with. God invites them into a relationship with him. So it says, Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. I love, Philip doesn't get off track. He's got the treasure of this whole kingdom of Ethiopia. He doesn't talk about Ethiopian finances. He doesn't ask him, hey, what do you think about the stimulus plan? He doesn't get distracted. He sticks with the topic at hand, the spiritual matter. And somehow, incredibly, Philip is able to journey with this intelligent spiritual explorer from Ethiopia, a completely different culture, from just mere curiosity to discovering and sharing with him the good news of Jesus. Fortunately for you and for me, Valley Church has an amazing series of films and discussions that we can have with skeptics and doubters and explorers, and it's called Alpha. And right now, I'd like to introduce to you one of our staff members, Rob Lighthizer, who is the lead associate for the good news. He really is our evangelism guy on staff, and he's going to tell you about Alpha. So welcome, Rob Lighthizer.
Thanks, Pastor. It's great to be here with you today and with our whole Valley family.
Okay, Rob, so tell us, what is Alpha?
Alpha is a course that seeks to introduce the basics of the Christian faith, and it essentially works like this. People gather together in community, we watch a video together, and then after that, we get into small groups and have a wonderful discussion where there's a safe exchange of ideas and philosophies and whatnot. It's really awesome.
So Rob, when does Alpha start and where does it take place?
That's a great question, Pastor Quinn. Alpha begins on April 11th and lasts until May 23rd. That's 7 weeks that will happen. Alpha will happen twice a week on Sunday and Monday evenings. The first offering is an in-person offering that happens from 6:30 to 7:45. At that one, a meal is actually provided. The second offering happens a little later in the evening and happens on the Zoom platform and goes from 8:30 to 9:30.
It's amazing. Okay, so Rob, why should I do whatever it takes to get my unbelieving friends and family, those skeptics, those doubters, those explorers in my life, to Alpha?
Pastor, that's an amazing question. The first thing that I would say is that we have a Great Commission mandate, which is unstoppable. You talked about it in your sermon today, which was wonderful. The second thing is that people today are hurting, broken, confused, angry, polarized, disillusioned, and are asking the big existential questions. The third thing is that Alpha presents the gospel in a clear way and focuses on the essentials of the Christian faith. And then finally, Alpha is respectful and safe. Whether a person chooses to follow Christ or not, at Alpha they will be respected, loved, appreciated, and taken seriously.
Rob, at Valley, we talk a lot about bold faith moves. How would you challenge us today to make a bold faith move regarding Alpha?
Pastor, I'm so excited that you would ask me that question. The first thing that I would say is that we all need to clear our schedules. We need to do this in anticipation that God is going to give us someone to take to Alpha. The second thing that we need to do is ask God to show us who to invite. And the third is that we need to step out in faith and invite someone. And finally, we need to commit to walk alongside the person that God gives us for the entirety of the Spring Alpha and beyond.
That is so encouraging, and what a great challenge. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do this spring with Alpha. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Pastor.
So guys, what we've been talking about is taking each of us take that next step as God opens doors. And then the last principle, whether you're an explorer yourself or whether you're a believer who you long to see other people discover the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, that is, we expect God to move in people's hearts. We expect God, if we're seeking Him, if we're seeking to do what's right, He's going to move in people's hearts. And the truth is, many people are way more ready than we realize. We don't think they are, but they're ready. Verse 36, he says, as they were traveling down the road, Philip's in the chariot with this Ethiopian man, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? He's like, he's ready. This happened in such a short time. And so he ordered the chariot to stop. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. That's amazing. Sometimes we don't think they're ready, but they're ready. And I believe people in our culture are way more ready than we ever give them credit for. Here's our job that God has given to us, and that is you are in people's lives for a season to bring joy. We talked about this last weekend. We're to be joy bringers to people. And look what happened here. Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. So Philip's not there for very long. It's just for this little brief chariot ride. And that was his moment. And he brought joy because look what it says. And the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. In that little space, in that little span of time, because the Spirit of God was working, and Philip was available and receptive and willing to say, God, use me. I want to bring a blessing to somebody else's life. Just he entered into that life for that just little season, and he brought joy into his life. He went on his way rejoicing. And apparently God miraculously just took Philip away, and he didn't stop there. And that's the principle here. Never stop reaching out. He didn't stop there because he'd had that one moment with this Ethiopian. It says, Philip appeared in Azotus, which is north of there, some distance, and as he was traveling, and he was preaching the good news, the gospel, in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The gospel is just incredible good news. It's unbelievably good news, and Philip couldn't keep it to himself. So guys, maybe you're an explorer today. Maybe you're a skeptic or a doubter. I'm telling you, if you open up your heart, God will be there to meet you. Maybe you need to sign up for Alpha. Maybe you need to befriend somebody and just start asking more questions. But many of us are believers, and I believe we're in a season now that's the perfect moment for the good news. You know, we've talked today, and we've heard all that this passage has to say. We've learned to be available to God's calling and His direction, to take each next step as God opens doors, and to expect God to move in people's hearts. It's really about opening our eyes, seeing God open doors, and seeing God open hearts. Maybe you've waited for the perfect moment Wait, maybe you're just thinking, the perfect moment has yet to arrive. Let me tell you, the perfect moment has arrived. Maybe you think, well, maybe I'll wait until there's like global catastrophe where everybody's just like in chaos. We're there. Maybe you say, well, maybe I'll wait until people are hungry to reconnect with people and build relationships and they're ready to re-enter and maybe connect with some new people. We're there. Maybe you're saying, well, maybe I'll wait until a time when people are uncertain or scared about what's going to happen next in the future. We're there. Maybe you say, I'll wait until a time when people will listen to somebody who's reasonable because people have been so polarized and hateful. Maybe I'll wait for a moment when they're willing to listen to somebody who loves them. Guys, we're there. This is the perfect time. It's the perfect moment for the good news. God bless y'all.